Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue with part two of the two-part series titled, He Must Increase.
That's the standard that God's putting on you, and it should come up. Come up hither. God never says, stay where you are. He always says, come up hither. He's always pulling you up, but you know, each step, there's a greater anointing. And these are the kind of things that you begin to get a revelation. As you mature and grow up, you won't have any problem with them saying, love not the world, neither things in the world. If the love of the world is in you, love God's not. You don't have any problem with that because you're like, well, it doesn't matter. What? Just show me how to love God. I'm loving Him. Just show me. It won't be a question like, well, how little can I do to get by? What's the very minimum I can do and still make it into heaven? God has not drawn that line for you. So you better not roll the dice on that. He has not drawn. We don't know where enough is enough. We know that if you confess with your mouth and you live in obedience to the word, you're going to heaven. We know that. And we don't know how much you can do, the little you can do to get by. Get rid of that mentality of just get by. I don't ever want to just get by at anything. I don't want to ever just do good enough in anything, at work, here, or anywhere else. I always want to try and do better than just get by. But you know, you got people with a lazy flesh and they want to do just enough to get by. How little can I do? Well, it's funny. If you go out in the crop and you say, how little can I sow? It's funny why you reap so little. Because you sow just enough to get by, you're going to reap just enough to get by. If you sow more to give to have abundance, you'll have more to give. If you do all you can in people, in studying the word, you'll have more to give to people. You can give abundance. And you'll draw people whom you can minister to. We talked about the three things to prevent you. John lists the three sins which are typical of individuals who won't allow Jesus to increase in their life. Anyone who has made a god of his own comfort and of his own ambition in any part of life is the servant of the lust of the flesh. I'm going to read that again. Anyone who has made a god of his own comfort. That means I live to make myself comfortable. I can't be happy till I have the right house. I can't be happy till I have the right car. I can't be happy till I have the right job. I can't be happy till people think of me a certain way. I can't be happy till I feel esteem based on other people thinking well of me. If your esteem is ever based on what other people think of you, then something's wrong. The only person your esteem should be put on is what Christ thinks of you. Everybody can think the devil of me, but if God thinks I'm doing a good job, that's all that ought to be important. That's all to be important. Because you know how many people are governed by what other people think? Think about it. I mean, we say that easy, but I would dare to say well over 95% of people are really make their decisions based on what other people think. They don't do it when they should. You know, like you got a husband and a wife, and the husband likes the wife to look a certain way. She don't care what he thinks. She ain't going to dress that way or not going to wear this or that. And then the wife want him to look this way. He ain't going to do that. So that's when you should care what the other person thinks. The two of you together, your body's hers, her body's yours. You should care then, but that's when people don't care. But the rest of it, then they care. You know, I don't understand. I got to have such and such, or I'm not going to feel like a success. You got to have what the majority of your friends have, or you don't feel like success. You can be happy saying, look, I'm a housewife. I work at home. I raise my kids right. My husband works. He's now working four jobs. He's working one job. We live in a modest living. I know the people we run with at our prestigious church have this, that, and the other. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I said, I know that I'm raising my kids right. I know that my husband and I are not so caught up with so many jobs that we can't spend time working on our marriage, that we can't spend time with family time. I know we don't have those problems. See, that's where peace and happiness is at there. But if you got all those things, if you got all those gods you think you have to have to make you happy, when you get those gods, you find out they don't make you happy.
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyfaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyfaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
or not going to wear this or that. And then the husband, the wife want him to look this way. He ain't going to do that. So that's when you should care what the other person thinks. The two of you together, your body's hers, her body's yours. You should care then, but that's when people don't care. But the rest of it, then they care. You know, I don't understand. I got to have such and such, or I'm not going to feel like a success. You got to have what the majority of your friends have, or you don't feel like success. You can be happy saying, look, I'm a housewife. I work at home. I raise my kids, right? My husband works. He's now working four jobs. He's working one job. We live in a modest living. I know the people we run with at our prestigious church have this, that, and the other, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I said, I know that I'm raising my kids, right? I know that my husband and I are not so caught up with so many jobs that we can't spend time working on our marriage, that we can't spend time with family time. I know we don't have those problems. See, that's where peace and happiness is at there. But if you got all those things, if you got all those gods you think you have to have to make you happy, when you get those gods, you find out they don't make you happy. Those are false gods. They're false in the sense that they don't supply what the real God supplies. They don't supply your needs. You will still be emotionally empty. There are people that live in palaces that are like tombs. Families live there, mansions, but there's no joy in the house. There's no peace in the house. There's just four or five people who live in the same house, but there's no relationship there. And there are people who live in a little two-bedroom apartment with six people, and there's joy and love in that family. They see when the other person's hurting, and they minister to them. And they're close, and they're tight, as opposed to people living in these big mansions, and they never cross each other. Our house is big enough that we don't even have to know each other. What kind of sense does that make? What kind of joy and happiness would that really bring? Happiness is in relationships. But the lust of the flesh would do that. It'll promise you what God promises you, but it'll promise you an easier way to get it. But when you go that way, what's easy to your flesh, stepping on people's ladder back to get up the corporate ladder, then when you get up the corporate ladder, you find out you're alone because everybody else is afraid of you because you're just an evil, mean, backstabbing person. Then you get up there, look at me, and there's nobody up there other than other lonely people somewhere else saying, yeah, that's fine, but all of us are all selfish people. We got just us selfish people at the top. This isn't any fun because I don't trust you. Because I learned not to trust anybody all my way up. I don't have no friends. If you want to win, you can have no friends. Everybody's out to deceive you. See, a lot of the lust of the flesh would drive you to think like that. The lust of the flesh would never let you give to somebody else, knowing that the more people you build up, the more you're built up. That's what the Word of God teaches, but the world system does not teach that. The world system teaches you cannot give it away and be blessed. The world system teaches it's more blessed to receive than to give. And a lot of times when we do things like that, we need to understand that when we do give, it's a blessing. I mean, even to the little minutest point, you got stuff laying around the house and you can give it to somebody. You're like, well, you know, I'm saving it because I might need it. Knowing you're not going to need it anytime soon and that person needs it now. But a lot of people are saving this stuff and hoarding it up. The Bible never talks about hoarding as anything other than a sin. It says that hoarding is a sin. Now, hoarding is not saving money in the bank to meet your needs and to take care of other things and a plan for the future. But hoarding is if you got $53 billion in the bank, somebody asks you for a piece of bread and you can't give them one. No, I can't do that. You go get your own, you lazy bum. That's hoarding. It's a mentality of not sharing. That's the lust of the flesh. You're serving your God, your money. Lust of the eye. C.H. Dodd describes the lust of the eye as a tendency to be captivated by outward show. A tendency to be captivated by outward show. That means to be moved by what you see. That's the lust of the eye. Boy, man, look over there. So-and-so just got a new car. You ever notice in certain circles, if a few people get a new car, the whole string gets it. Guy on the block gets a new car. He's got the nicest car on the block now. Other guys say, you know, I've been thinking about getting a new car, too. The only reason you're thinking about it is because you are guilty of lust of the eye. And I read in this one book, you know, people trying to keep up with the Joneses when the Smiths are perfectly good people. You can just keep up with the Smiths. You don't have to run with the Joneses. The Smiths are okay. But people serve the Joneses. Drive themselves up a wall. I'm talking, you only got one life to live on this earth and live it working two jobs, three jobs, just to keep up with the Joneses. What kind of sense does that make? I mean, people put themselves through all that trouble, all that turmoil, just to look like they're doing better than they're really doing. Just to look like, because they're not doing better, because that person probably got one job. If I happen to live in a neighborhood where this man makes twice the money I make, I don't care if he's got twice what I got. I don't care because I drive myself crazy not having the job he's got trying to do it. put in twice the effort to get half the results. No, that's not going to give you any kind of Zoe quality of life. That's going to drive you away. And the thing is, the total motive is pride. You want to be like him. You want to have what he's got. People are trying to live way out beyond their means. So it happens a lot in family, too. Happens at high school reunions. People trying to appear more than they are. Go and rent nice cars to drive and do all this kind of stuff that makes folks think, go out and rent a tuxedo to go to the thing or rent some suit or go spend money you don't have to spend that you know you're not going to wear again to look your best at the thing, to look successful. Go borrow jewels. And people do this kind of stuff because they want to front. That is a person that's guilty of this lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. And if you're guilty of those, you have not the love of God in you. You have the love of the world. Some Christians do that. And they make other Christians feel like, well, you know, because they think you would have all this if you're spiritual. So therefore, I have to have all this. That makes me spiritual. No, if you seek you first the kingdom of God and you act spiritual, God will bless you with that. Not you go get that to make people think you're spiritual. Because that is not, having those things is not what makes you spiritual. Because there are people in the world that have those things that are not spiritual. And God says, yes, all your needs will be met and all that will be added if you seek first. It's the way that God sees it, the way that God does it. You should be concentrating 100% on being a real person. I am who I am. And I'm that in Christ. What you see is what you get. Anything that's wrong, I'm working on developing it, but I'm not trying to pretend or hide or duck or peep or anything else. If you don't like something in you, don't get makeup. I'm not talking about the way you look, but I'm talking about spiritually. If you don't like something in you spiritually, don't put makeup on it. Change it. So you can't always change your natural features, but you can change any spiritual flaw, quote unquote, that you have. And the flaw is really not in your spirit. The flaw is in your mind and your flesh. But you can alter anything that's manifested in your persona. Any negative trait is manifested in your persona to other people. Don't get makeup and cover it up. Change it. You can. If I know that I'm a person that's late, get the word and study what it talks about being a diligent person, not being a slothful person, one that counts the cost, one to plan. But some people are embarrassed. I mean, the people I like, well, most is if you do something wrong, you're not embarrassed about it. You just say, yep, that's me. At least you're honest. But people try and cover it up. Oh, it was this, it was that, it was the other, it was this, it was that, it was the other. No, it was you. And I've been there, so I'm not throwing stones, but I'm saying these things so that you can know in your heart, I can change wherever. I can change. You're a person in school, you're a young person, you're a person in college now, and you're getting C's. You don't need to get no C's. Don't need to get a C. What do you need a C for? Yeah, but that's passing. That ain't good enough. You're a Christian. You're supposed to shoot for above and beyond. Am I saying you have to get straight A's and you should be mad if you don't? No. But you shouldn't get any C's. C's are average. Christians aren't average.
Today's message has been part two of the two-part series titled, He Must Increase.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God, develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
A1 Auto Care of Hope Sound is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Dave and